Welcome everyone to the bidder webcast for the November 2025 auction under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. My name's Katie Orlandi and I work for NERA. NERA serves as the auction manager for AEP Ohio's CBP. Presenting with me today are my colleagues Rachel and Abby, both from NERA. So in today's presentation, we're going to provide an overview of the competitive bidding process, details on the qualification and auction process, and we'll also cover information that is specific to this auction, of course, including the product that's available, and we'll go over the calendar with applicable qualification and auction deadlines. So all lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise, but feel free to send us written questions throughout the presentation. You'll do that by clicking on the chat icon at the bottom of your screen. There'll be a panel that appears, and you can type in your question and hit enter. If you have any technical problems throughout the presentation, you can also get in touch with us using the chat function, and we'll work that out with you. So you all know the presentation as well as any questions and answers responded to today will be posted to the CBP website. I'm going to start with a disclaimer. Any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to such governing documents. The governing documents include orders from the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio in the cases that are provided here in the first bullet. Other governing documents include the CBP rules, the Master Standard Service Office Offer or SSO Supply Agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, and the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. All of these documents are already available and posted to the CBP website. The link is provided here. It's aepohiocbp.com. As I mentioned, NERA serves as the auction manager. And so, in this role, we are your single point of contact. That means that all questions should be referred straight to us. Additionally, NERA ensures the CBP rules approved by the commission are followed and that bidder qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. We will also administer the auction and submit a report on the results to the commission. So the agenda for today's presentation is as follows. In the first part of the presentation, I'm going to give an overview of the product that's available in the auctions generally. I'll provide a description of the contract as well. Then I'll pass the presentation to Abby. She'll continue with an overview of the website, and then the details of how you will apply to qualify to bid. And then next, Rachel will complete the presentation with slides, including screenshots that go through bids and the bidding process in the actual auction. And then at the end of the presentation, we'll respond to questions. So this upcoming auction will be held on October 4th. This is the fifth of a series of eight full requirements auctions to be held under ESP5. The product schedule includes a single 12-month product to be procured this November with a term that starts June 1, 2026. This slide provides the results of the most recent auction that was held in March 2025. 12, 24, and 36-month products were available for a supply period that began on June 1, 2025. There were 10 registered bidders, and the range for the starting price, or the round one price, was between $135 and $185 per megawatt hour. All tranches available were procured in the auction at the clearing prices provided here in the final column in Table 2, and the commission accepted the results on March 5th, 2025. So the tranches available in the auction are load following slice of system full requirements tranches. Each tranche represents a fixed percentage of the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are customers who take retail generation service from AEP Ohio, excluding PIP customers, And PIP customers are those customers on AAP Ohio's percentage of income payment plan. We provide here on this slide the P-Node ID for the delivery point. And lastly, a note that SSO suppliers, the winners in the auction, they assume the responsibility as the load serving entity in PJM, including the responsibility for scheduling SSO supply and making arrangements for delivery of SSO supply. So as I mentioned on that last slide, the load of SSO customers is divided into a number of tranches. The tranche target, or the number of available tranches in this auction, is 17 for a 12-month supply period. Again, each tranche represents 1% of the load of SSO customers. And so that means that a supplier that serves a single tranche of the 12-month product provides all necessary services to meet the needs of 1% of the load of SSO customers for 12 months beginning June 1, 2026. Notably, there's a load cap of 13 tranches in the auction, which is the limit on the number of tranches that you can bid and win. The format for the auction is a clock auction. So in this November auction, there are multiple tranches available for a single term. There are multiple rounds, and in each round, suppliers will state how many tranches they want to supply at the going price that's announced by us, the auction manager. From one round to the next, the auction will continue, and the price will decrease or tick down if there's excess supply. And excess supply is when suppliers bid to supply more tranches than the number of tranches available. The auction will close when the number of tranches bid is equal to or less than the number of tranches that are being procured. There's no final sealed bid round. Instead, bidders supply exit prices as they withdraw tranches. And then the auction will establish a single clearing price that will be applicable to all 17 tranches and all winning suppliers. We provide here on this slide the PLC in megawatts for SSO customers, excluding PIP customers. This PLC figure is based on the five highest coincident peaks experienced by PJM, and the figure is 1,612 megawatts. Directly below that, we provide, for reference and informational purposes only, the megawatt measure for a tranche. And emphasizing that a tranche is a percentage, and this megawatt measure is just for reference and informational purposes, because the actual quantity, of course, is going to depend on many factors. These factors include migration of SSO customers. Suppliers are paid the auction clearing price for each megawatt hour of supply during the delivery term times a seasonal factor. The seasonal factor is expected to be one. We have the calendar of events that'll take place over the next 2 months on this slide. The application process is in two parts. First, applicants will submit the Part One application with their qualification materials beginning on Monday, September 22nd. And then the Part One application must be submitted by noon on the Part One date on October 2nd. Applicants that become qualified bidders pursuant to a successful Part One application will be notified that they can submit a Part Two application on the Part One notification date on October 7th, that Tuesday. The following day, applicants can begin submitting their Part Two application materials, and the Part Two will include posting pre-bid security. Pre-bid security and the rest of the Part Two application will be due on October 21st. Bidders will be notified whether they're registered and eligible to participate in the auction on October 28th. By that date, we will also provide to you a manual so that you can begin preparation for participation in the auction. And you'll have an opportunity to practice using the auction software and working through the bid submission procedures in a trial auction that will be scheduled on October 29th. The following day, on the 30th, we provide the round one prices. And then Tuesday, November 4th, the auction we'll start. We're going to make several key announcements throughout the process. So we'll be announcing the minimum and maximum starting prices, which is the levels between which we will set the round one price. That announcement will take place by Monday, September 22nd. We'll provide an update to the seasonal factors and the megawatt measure as necessary by October 8th. As I mentioned, the application process is in two parts. Everything is done online. No hard copy materials are required. So applicants will submit a part one and part two application through online forms, and we'll go through how to register for an account to access the online forms. With the part one application, the materials provided include contact and company information for the bidder and supporting documents, including financial information. You'll also be uploading what we call inserts. These inserts are provided by us in Microsoft Word format for you to complete. And Abby will provide additional information on these required inserts in the next part of the presentation. The part two application materials include providing an indicative offer at the minimum and maximum starting prices, uploading additional inserts, and then providing either a pre-bid letter of credit or cash in an amount that supports the indicative offer. The auction results are contingent on final commission approval. So the auction manager will submit a confidential report on the auction results to the commission on the day the auction closes, and then the commission will issue a decision within 2 days of auction close. If the commission does not act within this window, then the auction results are deemed accepted. The commission may publicly release the auction clearing price and names of the winning bidders from the auction. And within 3 days of the commission's acceptance of the results, the master SSO supply agreement must be fully executed, and winning bidders must fulfill all creditworthiness requirements under the contract. Bidders are subject to load caps. So, first, a bidder cannot bid or win more than 80% of the tranches available at the start of the auction, which again is 13 tranches. Second, the amount a bidder can bid and win in a given auction could be further reduced to the credit-based tranche cap, depending on credit ratings of the bidder or its guarantor. And this slide here provides the credit-based tranche caps. They've been maintained at the same level for this November 2025 auction as the prior auction. That completes the overview section. I'm going to cover a few slides now in this part two with some details on the product design and contract. So SSO suppliers will assume all responsibilities of a load-serving entity in PJM for the percentage of the load they serve. They're responsible for providing full requirement service, including energy, capacity, ancillary services, and additional services to SSO customers, which again excludes PIP customers. SSO suppliers bear all costs that are associated with this responsibility. Full requirement service and the LSE obligations of SSO suppliers are defined in the Master SSO Supply Agreement for your review. And you can specifically see Attachment F in the agreement, which provides the PJM invoice a sample, and it has each billing line item, and it indicates whether the responsibility is the SSO supplier or AEP Ohio. This final slide in part two provides an overview of credit requirements under the SSO agreement. There are two distinct credit requirements, and corresponding to those requirements are two distinct unsecured credit lines that the SSO supplier or its guarantor can qualify for. So the first credit requirement is the independent credit requirement, or ICR. That's an amount per tranche that declines throughout the term of the agreement. Corresponding to this ICR requirement is an unsecured credit line that's called the independent credit threshold. Whether a supplier or guarantor qualifies for the independent credit threshold depends on criteria that's provided in the agreement. So a creditworthiness evaluation is conducted in the Part 1 application process and will provide some information regarding how the supplier or its guarantor would be treated in regards to credit. The second credit requirement is the mark-to-market exposure. That exposure is based on the difference between the prevailing market prices and the market prices that were in effect on the date the auction is completed. To meet this second requirement, the supplier or guarantor can depend on a credit limit, again, that may be granted based on criteria that's outlined in the agreement. Under the terms of the agreement, a supplier can use a guarantee with a creditworthy guarantor. You could also post a letter of credit in order to meet any credit requirements. And there's a form of guarantee and letter of credit provided as attachments to the master agreement for your review. Additionally, a supplier can post cash to meet these requirements. So that concludes part two. I'm going to pass the presentation now to Abby.
Thank you, Katie. Hi, everyone. In this next section, I'll provide you with an overview of the AAP Ohio auction website. The auction website can be found at aapohiocbp.com. It's the central source of information where bidders can find announcements made by the auction manager, the schedule for the current auction and important dates, auction documents, as well as data provided by AAP Ohio. Bidders can navigate through different pages of the website using the panel on the left-hand side of the screen and clicking the appropriate tab name. And just to point out, a link to the application website is also available at the bottom of the navigation bar. Clicking on the information tab displays the link to access the documents page, along with links to the announcements page and the FAQs page. On the documents page, bidders can find a number of files such as the auction rules, the master SSO supply agreement, and pre-bid security documents. Also on this page are the illustrated versions of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. And also later today, today's presentation will be posted here on the documents page. Clicking on the data room tab will take you to the page where AAP Ohio has made available hourly energy data, customer account data, PLC and NSPL data, as well as monthly switching statistics. The information on this page is updated on or before the 20th of each month. And also available on the data room page is government aggregation data, which is updated less frequently. To contact the auction manager, you may click on the Contact Us tab of the website. Here you can register to receive announcements about the auction, as well as any upcoming auctions. You can also register to receive login credentials to access the application forms to participate in the auctions. If you have a question, you can click the Ask a Question link and fill out the required fields. Your question will be submitted to the auction manager, and we aim to provide a response within 2 business days. Alternatively, you may also submit any questions to us by email at aap-cbp@nero.com. In this next section, I'll provide an overview of the application process for purposes of participating in the upcoming AAP auction and review some of the information that bidders will need to provide in their online Part 1 and Part 2 forms. The online application to participate in the auction is completed on a website separate from the AAP-CBP website. You can access the application site directly by going to aapohiocbp-application.com. And as I mentioned earlier, a link to the application website is also available at the bottom of the navigation bar on the AAP-CBP website. Ahead of the Part 1 window opening, new bidders who have not participated in the AAP auctions should register for an account on the AAP-CBP website by clicking Contact Us and then register for an application account on the left-hand side of the webpage. Alternatively, bidders can send us an email at aep-cbp@nira.com to request login credentials, making sure to provide the contact information shown on the slide here. If you're currently an account holder, the auction manager will automatically send you your login credentials and you do not need to re-register for an account. Current account holders are considered returning bidders that have qualified to participate in an AAP auction in 2023 or later, as well as any entities that registered for an account in 2023 or later but have not yet been previously qualified. And please note that all account holders, whether you are new or a returning bidder, will need to activate their account by following the instructions provided in the account activation email. The auction manager will also send instructions for accessing and completing the online forms to account holders prior to the Part 1 window opening. Next, I'll provide an overview of the Part 1 application requirements. The first section of the online Part 1 form will ask you to provide contact information for the bidder and for various representatives, including the representative of the applicant and a legal representative in Ohio. In this section, a bidder may also choose to name nominees to be included on all correspondence with the auction manager. The next section of the online Part 1 form requires a bidder to provide information related to their status as a PJM member and to indicate whether it is currently a market buyer, market seller, and whether it is qualified as a load-serving entity. With the Part 1 application, bidders are also required to make a number of certifications, agreeing to the auction rules, agreeing to the terms of the Master SSO Supply Agreement, and agreeing to keep certain auction-related information confidential. Bidders also need to provide financial statements and credit ratings for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is relying. Please note that additional information will be required for a foreign bidder, as well as any bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. There's also a section in the online Part 1 form where bidders may propose modifications to the pre-bid letter of credit. Bidders are required to provide pre-bid security in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit with their Part 2 application. So this section in the online Part 1 form provides bidders with an opportunity to propose changes to the standard form of the document. AAP Ohio will review any proposed modifications and a response will be provided to the bidder indicating which changes are acceptable and which are not. And a preliminary list of acceptable modifications can currently be found on the documents page of the auction website. Any modification already on this preliminary list may be used by any bidder, so please share this list with your bank. If a modification is accepted for one bidder, it will be made available to all bidders on an optional basis through this running list. Bidders will be required to fill out inserts for the Part 1 and Part 2 application. Inserts are submitted alongside of the rest of the application as separate Microsoft Word documents. All inserts can be found on the auction website at aapohiocbp.com on the documents page under the information tab on the left-hand side of the screen. These inserts for the Part 1 and Part 2 applications are available in the correspondingly named zip file shown on the screen here. And just as a note, there are instructions for what is considered an acceptable signature within each insert template. This next slide gives an overview of the inserts that may be required with the Part 1 application, to whom they apply, and whether notarization is required to complete them. So all bidders are required to provide the representative designation insert, the representative responsibilities insert, and the certifications insert as part of their Part 1 application for each auction. The legal representative insert will be retained in the online Part 1 form for returning bidders that have participated since the October 2024 auction and does not need to be re-uploaded unless the information provided in the insert has changed. And the Part 1 form will ask returning bidders to indicate that the legal representative has not changed. And also, please note that the legal representative insert will be required for any bidder that has not yet participated in an auction following the Commission's approval of the new ESP. And lastly, some of the inserts are only required in certain circumstances, which are further outlined in the illustrative Part 1 form. For example, the PJM requirements insert should not be provided if a bidder should be provided if a bidder is not currently a member of PJM in good standing or is not qualified as a market buyer, market seller, or load-serving entity. If a bidder satisfies all requirements of the Part 1 application, that bidder will receive a Part 1 notification from the auction manager and will be invited to submit a Part 2 application. New bidders and returning bidders must fulfill the same requirements in the online Part 2 form. In the Part 2 form, bidders submit their indicative offer, provide pre-bid security, and make a number of additional certifications. And also, just to note, foreign entities will have additional requirements to complete with their Part 2 application as well. I'll next review in more detail some of the requirements of the Part 2 application. The online Part 2 form will require bidders to provide an indicative offer. The indicative offer is the maximum number of tranches that a bidder is willing to bid at the minimum starting price and at the maximum starting price. The indicative offer at the maximum starting price is used to determine the amount of pre-bid security a bidder must provide with its Part 2 application. In turn, this value sets the total number of tranches that a bidder will be able to bid in the first round of the auction. This is also referred to as bidder's initial eligibility. Bidders will also need to submit pre-bid security for their Part 2 applications in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit. The amount of pre-bid security is equal to 500,000 per tranche of a bidder's indicative offer at the maximum starting price. And as a reminder, for the upcoming November auction, additional pre-bid security is not required. Bidders will also need to make a number of certifications with their Part 2 application, certifying to comply with the association and confidential information rules, and certifying to keep certain information related to the auction confidential. For bidders choosing to provide a pre-bid letter of credit as their pre-bid security, the pre-bid letter of credit can only be provided by the issuing bank to the auction manager as an electronic PDF file via email to aep-cbp@nero.com. Hard copy versions of the pre-bid letter of credit will not be accepted. And as a reminder, please review the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit ahead of the deadline for Part 1 applications so you can propose changes to the standard form if you so choose. Also, with their Part 2 applications, bidders must certify that any bid submitted in the auction is binding. And then, lastly, foreign bidders or bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign entity must provide the executed versions of the draft documents they provided with the Part 1 application. And please note that these executed versions must include any changes that are required by AAP Ohio. And just like in the online Part 1 form, the online Part 2 form will also require bidders to upload inserts. Bidders submitting cash as pre-bid security will need to provide the cash certifications insert, and all bidders must provide the Part 2 certifications insert. And again, these inserts are available on the AAP-CBP website, and instructions for signing is provided within each insert. And I'll now pass things over to Rachel.
Thanks, Abby. I'll end today's presentation by providing everyone with an overview of the bidding process in the auction. Now, if a bidder satisfies all requirements of the Part 2 application, that bidder will receive a Part 2 notification from the auction manager and will be eligible to bid in the auction. And bidders will submit their bids in the auction using an online auction software. As we discussed earlier, the format of the auction is a descending clock auction with multiple rounds during which the price ticks down if there is excess supply. And in each round, bidders specify the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the announced price in that round. Each round in the auction is made up of three phases: bidding, calculating, and reporting. Bidders state the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the going price for that round during the bidding phase. Once the bidding phase ends, the calculating phase begins, and the auction manager then tabulates the results of that round and calculates the next round's going price. After the calculating phase ends, the reporting phase begins, and at this time, bidders will be provided with the going price for the next round, and bidders will also be provided with the results of their own bid in that round. Note that bidders will have access to the results of their own bid, but will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. During the reporting phase, bidders will also be provided with a range of total excess supply. At the end of the reporting phase, the bidding phase for the next round begins, and the cycle continues until the auction ends. Now, if it's determined that there is insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding, the auction manager can reduce the tranche target. The specific criteria that could lead to this reduction will be determined ahead of time prior to the auction, but this information will be kept confidential and will not be provided to bidders. However, once specific criteria have been met, the discretion to reduce the tranche target will be eliminated, and the value of the tranche target will hold through the end of the auction. The starting price or the round one price is provided to registered bidders ahead of the auction, and a bid in round one is the number of tranches a bidder is willing to supply at the round one price. In round one, a bidder cannot bid more tranches than its initial eligibility. Just a reminder here that a bidder's initial eligibility is equal to its indicative offer at the maximum starting price that was provided in its online Part Two form. In round one, a bidder can bid a number of tranches equal to its initial eligibility or a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility, but a bidder cannot increase the number of tranches it bids from round to round. So a bidder choosing to bid a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility in round one will only be able to bid that same amount or less in subsequent rounds. After the bidding phase ends, the auction will enter the calculating phase, and the auction manager will tabulate the results of the round and calculate the next round's going price. Then, this information is made available to bidders in the reporting phase, and this slide gives an example of the information that's provided to bidders at that time. Bidders will see the next round's price and a range of total excess supply. The actual value of excess supply, which is equal to the total number of tranches bid in the auction, minus the tranche target, will fall within this range. In the example here, the range reported to bidders is 106 to 110, which means the actual value of excess supply can be equal to 106 or 110 or any value in between. Bidders will also have access to the results of their own bid, but as I said earlier, bidders will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. So information regarding the bidder's bid, identity or eligibility will not be accessible to other bidders. So as I mentioned earlier in this presentation, bidders that satisfy all requirements of the Part Two application will receive a Part Two notification from the auction manager. Registered bidders will also receive with their Part Two notification a bidder user manual. The bidder user manual will provide the decrement formulas used to calculate the going price from round to round. And remember that the price ticks down when there is excess supply. So starting in round two, in response to a reduction in price, bidders may either leave their bid the same as in the previous round, or bidders can withdraw tranches from the auction. Again, a bidder cannot bid more than its eligibility. In round one, this value is the bidder's initial eligibility. In round two, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the number of tranches that the bidder bid in round one. And in round three and in subsequent rounds, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the eligibility from the prior round minus any tranches that the bidder withdrew from the auction. When a bidder withdraws tranches from the auction, the bidder will be prompted to provide what's called an exit price. This is a best and last offer for the tranches that are being withdrawn from the auction. An exit price must be greater than the current round's going price, but below or equal to the previous round's going price. In the example here, a bidder is withdrawing one tranche from the auction. Where it was bidding on 10 tranches, it's now bidding on 9. The bidder submits an exit price of $119.25 per megawatt hour, which is above the going price of $118.75, but below the previous round's price of $125. If the auction continues on to the next round, the bidder's eligibility will be 9 tranches. The auction will continue as long as there is excess supply, or in other words, when the total number of tranches bid across all bidders is greater than the auction volume. The auction will end when the total number of tranches bid is either just equal to the tranche target, or if the total number of tranches bid is less than the tranche target. The final price, which is also referred to as the auction clearing price, is determined in one of two ways. If the number of tranches bid is exactly equal to the number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is the going price in that final round. If the total number of tranches bid is less than the total number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is equal to the lowest exit price at which the tranche target is filled. So this slide provides an example of how the auction clearing price is determined in a case where the total number of tranches bid falls below the tranche target. So you'll see in the number bid column that the total number of tranches bid across all bidders fell from 19 to 14, so the auction will close. To fill the tranche target of 17 tranches, we'll first take the 14 tranches bid at the round 12 going price, and then we're short three tranches. So we'll need to retain some of the withdrawn tranches, and the exit prices that are submitted by the bidders will be used to set the auction clearing price. To decide which of the tranches will be retained, we'll consider the exit prices from lowest to highest. We need to retain three tranches total to fill the target. We'll first select the two tranches with the lowest exit price of $95.47 from bidder A, and then we're still short one tranche. We'll then select the tranche with the next lowest exit price, which is the single tranche withdrawn by bidder B with an exit price of $95.85. So we've now filled the tranche target of 17 tranches, and the auction clearing price will be equal to bidder B's exit price of $95.85. We will not retain any of the withdrawn tranches from bidder C, and all bidders who are holding tranches will receive the same clearing price of $95.85. Before wrapping up today's presentation, I'll provide you with a few more reminders about the auction. So as Katie mentioned, bidders will have an opportunity to practice submitting bids using the auction software in a trial auction to be held on October 29th. And then during the auction, if you're experiencing any technical difficulties, the backup procedure for submitting your bids is to do so by phone. Technical assistance will be available to take your bid over the phone and submit it into the software on your behalf. The last bid submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. A backup bid processed over the phone will only count if it is entered and verified by the technical assistant in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So it's the bidder's responsibility to provide a complete bid consistent with the CBP rules and to get the bid in on time. For purposes of using the online auction software, please be sure you're using any of the supported web browsers listed here on this slide and that you have a stable internet connection. If you need to reach us, you can contact the auction manager team by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. And just a reminder that if you intend to submit a pre-bid letter of credit as your pre-bid security, it must be sent electronically to this same email address. Now, this concludes the presentation portion of this webcast.